Hey, you guys, I just want to give you a warm welcome back to our podcast, Therefore Noir. And I also wanted to give you a reminder, if you do like what you hear, you can always give us a follow on our Instagram page at Therefore_Noir. You can follow myself on my individual account at Liz Damon. And you can also follow my new co-host, Edith, at Q.DTheCreator. You can find our pages in the Therefore Noir bio. Thanks again, and welcome back. Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Therefore Noir with your girl Liz. And today I am introducing you guys to a new co-host that will be on the show. Her name is Edith. So Edith, would you like to introduce yourself really quickly?
Yes. So as she said, my name is Edith. I am also, though she hasn't said it, I am her younger sister. A little bit about me. I'm a visual artist in the progress of developing her artistry. Trying my hand at a couple new things, including this podcasting thing. So yeah, hopefully you enjoy these new episodes we got coming up.
Yes. Okay. And so it's been a while since I put out an episode, but you know, coming back and I guess like having explored so many different things while I was away. Well, first, I guess I want to ask you, what made you say yes to being a co-host?
I mean, we kind of had like a mini conversation before, but I really do think about the conversations that we've had, not even just me and you, but like us sisters, period, like the kind of things that we talk about, the kind of things that we get into. And I mean, you know, podcasting isn't necessarily what like we were all thinking of doing, but the idea of, you know, coming on the platform with you to kind of talk about them, I'm like, I enjoy the conversations that we have, and I feel like it would be a good outlet to kind of share those conversations. But it felt right.
I feel like we've always worked well together, not just because we're sisters, but I feel like we have a lot of similar tastes. I don't know if that's, you know, because as a big sister, I passed them down.
That's definitely that part of it, or at least that's why I feel like, yeah.
But yeah, I feel like, you know, we work really well together. And then, you know, this will be another thing that we'll be working together on. And, you know, it's been a year. It has been a year, right? I mean, we just made an anniversary, you know,
but it's been more than a year. You mean for us, like working together and stuff?
With on Inner Child Network.
Yeah. I mean, I came in a little bit later. Like came in a little bit later than you did. But yeah, that's still been more than a year.
Okay. Yeah. And so like we've been working with each other, you know, with Inner Child Network, a business that, you know, we and other Black creatives are building from the ground up, a multimedia company. And so, yeah, I feel like we have to have like Christina, because, you know, we only speak to women on this podcast. So you have Christina come on and then talk more about Inner Child Network. But that's something really exciting that we're working on, and we just put out a children's book together called One Gets You Two, and I wrote it, Edith illustrated it, and it's available on Amazon.
Get your copies now.
But yeah, I mean, As a creative, I mean, what does it mean to you to be like a Black creative? And like I said, like it's coming off like I'm interviewing you, but it's literally just because
yeah, we're getting into it.
Yeah.
I feel like it means so many things. Being a Black person in this country and even in this world is so intersectional. Like, it just means so many things. I guess for me, it becomes more important to create my art exactly how I want it, you know? Being a person of color, you know, we move through the world in a way that's just so conscious of the way that people perceive us and the way that they expect us to behave, or, you know, moving in the structure that's not really made for us. So yeah, I think that's what it is. And even that's like a practice for me, something that I'm still like working on, something that I'm still learning to do for myself. Like, no, this is enough. This is what I feel like creating, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it means a lot of things because there's so many complexities to being a person of color, to being a Black woman, to be, you know, to being Black. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you got that mix in of being like Caribbean American, so that's a whole other thing too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's, when you ask that question, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Do you claim like being a, I mean, I guess technically we are people of color, but I feel like for us being Black trumps being a person of color. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't like describing myself as a person.
As a person of Black color.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, to go into it, like, person of color is surely derives from like being colored, mm-hmm. you know, which has its own like historical connections and legacies and connotations and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Can I curse?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Sorry.
No children listen to this. They shouldn't be.
We don't know. They out here listening to the Megan Thee Stallion and shit. Yeah, I would say it's like even saying being Black like trumps, you know. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so much intersectional shit. I guess because when I think about the like oppression in this country in general,
mm-hmm.
I think the conscious thing, and maybe that's a whole separate conversation to get into the why of it, but like I think of the concept of like in, like oppression in this country is not exclusive to Black people. There's a very distinct form of it that, you know, belongs to how we've been treated in this country, most definitely. But I guess if I had to say, I guess, yeah, like Black definitely trumps. Yeah, because I mean, if I'm walking through the street, you know, if I walk in a building, that's what I'm seeing as first. They're not thinking person of color. They're thinking,
yeah, like, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And even that just like pisses me off. I'm like, I'm defining myself by the concept of how I'm perceived. But
yeah,
that's the fuck what it is.
Yeah. And I guess this is like an interview episode for you. Since
yeah, and even if it is, that's okay.
But like, what are you looking forward
to?
Yeah. What are you looking forward to, like, you know, in entering this podcast world?
I think pretty much what I said. Definitely, you know, working with you in another way, like, we kind of talked about it a little bit. But yeah. I think it's hard for me to describe, but it does like feel right. And I feel like the conversations that we have are essential to the now of how we're existing. I don't know how much, there's no knowing how much like other people will take away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But something that I often think about, and that again we've even talked about, is just this concept of like, yeah, we're having these conversations, but like, what else can you do past that? And this is not the only way to do something past that, but you know, yeah, I want it to have a tangible way to exist outside of our personal context.
That's a good way to put it. Like, I often wonder, because you know, when I started it, it was during the pandemic. And, you know, of course, everybody was locked in the house, and it was one of, right?
No, I was saying, like, you said during the pandemic, I'm like, damn, COVID really just took a whole fucking
year. Oh, my God. No, because when I think back, I'm like, it just, things felt really different, but I feel like, you know, it allowed a lot of people to really discover what passions they had.
Mm-hmm.
And like, right. And so like, I had started therapy, like Word. Literally a couple weeks before, you know, we got into lockdown. So, yeah. So, you know, when I started the podcast, it was another form of therapy for me. You know, I started talking about childhood traumas and things like that. I was fresh off of not talking to the person that we're both related to. And so it was another form of therapy for me to just talk about it. But now I feel like I'm ready to kind of take the podcast in a direction of more, I guess, lighthearted topics. I still want to talk about mental health and how it affects Black women and Black creatives, and how we navigate our creative sides, and, you know, just life in general. I feel like I've grown past, I guess, feeling those feelings so deeply. Like, you know, they're still, you know, they're still hurt, they're still having to deal and live with trauma, but I feel like I'm carrying it differently, or I'm not carrying so much of it. And so I just, you know, especially with everything that we have going on with, you know, ICN and you know, the other thing that we're working on.
Yeah, personal aspirations and goals and shit.
You know, I don't really know where it's gonna go, but I just appreciate the fact that, you know, I'm able to do it. And then, you know, now that we're doing it together.
I mean, even when you talk about like adulthood, like I still have that question, like, am I a real adult yet? Like, I don't know. Like,
I feel the same way, honestly. Like, yeah.
I was actually having that conversation with my coworker the other day, because that's literally what we're talking about. Like, what does it even mean to be an adult? Because like, high key, we don't feel like real adults yet. And I think what we both kind of came down to is like the level of responsibility and just thinking about like the people in our lives that we would consider real adults.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they all have kids, you know, because y'all have like real shit to do. I guess that's how it feels like.
I mean, having kids doesn't mean that you're more of an adult than anybody else. Honestly, I feel like from my perspective, I feel like our generation is showing that, you know, having kids doesn't mean that you're growing up, and you know what I mean, like it's literally not for everyone. We know a lot of people, we've heard a lot of stories about people that have kids
that are definitely
doing with kids.
I mean, we got into that too, because that's definitely not like the only qualifier, but when we were thinking about, at least for the people again, that when we're like, yeah, that's an adult,
mm-hmm.
it came down to more, I guess, accountability to other things and other people aside from yourself, and kind of responsibility. And one of the primary things I think that kind of tests that ability is having children, because ideally, if you know you're a parent, you know, like invested in raising the children that you have, you know, there's a level of sacrifice of regular sacrifice that you have, that I guess kind of indexes that. But for me personally, I guess like that is what it is. It's just like, I'm like, I don't know. Am I a real adult yet? Like, I have personal goals and things that I want to do, you know? So I'm just now like starting my career, but even within that, I feel like it's an active thing of trying to assess what's the best way to do that. You know, like right now, like, you know, I work a lot of hours. I travel a lot. I don't want to do it that way for the rest of my life. Like, I enjoy the career field that I'm in. I work in the library, but I don't want to lose like 90% of my time for the rest of my life until they say I've worked enough and I can retire, you know. Mm-hmm. but I still do enjoy it, you know. I'm still figuring myself out too, and that's definitely a big part of like the therapy thing. Like, I mean, obviously everybody or nobody's perfect, but you know, I have my own patterns of behavior that I want to, you know, realign, ways that I want to engage with people in the world that I struggle with, that I want to, you know, find tools to better do, because I, you know, I want my life to be a certain way. I want to get a certain experience out of it that I realize that I have barriers to being able to do. You know, I want a house. I'm over renting. That's one of the big goals that I know, like, I've talked to everybody in this family about, like, I'm ready to get my own place. But yeah, I don't know if that fully answers the question.
I mean, because although your friend, you know, she thinks about the people in her life that she considers real adults, and they have families.
I said he, actually.
Oh, he. My bad. Yeah,
ironically, with the same name as your husband.
Oh, okay. I think you told me about him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I feel like, especially, you know, that I have children, I feel like, you know, when we were growing up, and, you know, me personally, I used to think that that was the definition of an adult, someone that had a job, they had a spouse, and they had kids. But I think that, and then also, you know, having gotten to this point and looking back at how things were when we were growing up, to know that there are people that have had kids, you know, that didn't know what they were doing. And I'm realizing, I think I'm learning more about what life could look like, you know, for myself, having, you know, come from where we came from. And understanding that to be an adult, it just means that you were instilled with the ability to take care of yourself, and
definitely that,
yeah, and with the ability to make decisions that are best for you. So it's like, if it is best for you, and if it's what you want to do, you know, go ahead, get married, have kids, or go ahead and get married, don't have kids, or don't get married,
kids.
Don't get married. And
every combination thereof.
Don't get married, and you know what I mean. Just like, you know, do you, like?
Yeah, find your personal balance, which right. is definitely what I want to do.
Yeah, right. And so, I feel like, you know, any person that is taking care of themselves is doing the adulting in the way that should be done, because it fits their narrative. So I feel like, you know, you're my little sister, but I see you as an adult. I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
it doesn't help that I look like five, you know.
And like, even though I have kids, I don't even, sometimes, a lot of times, I don't even feel like I'm doing the adulting thing right. Like, I'm just now, well, I mean, this isn't the first time I'm going to school, but I'm just now, like, taking it seriously, like going to school with the intention of finishing and doing well and applying myself, and just now starting my entrepreneurial endeavors, and taking it seriously, taking myself seriously, still learning how to be disciplined, because I feel like that was something that wasn't instilled in me growing up. You know, I don't know if it was, maybe I like fought against it too hard, but I just personally don't think that it was really modeled.
Yeah.
For me. Or forced for me to have like taken to it in a way that would have benefited me as an adult. So I'm still like learning to discipline myself. Reframe my thinking so that I can do these adult things, because on one hand you have to do it, and that was one of my struggles, like feeling like, oh my god, like if I'm told I have to do something, part of me is like, no, I don't want to do it. So having to like push through that, because at the end of the day, I do have to do it. Like, you know, I made these people, I have to take care of them. So I have to work this job that I don't really care about because I need it to get me to the next part in my life. And so just balancing the things that I have to do and the things that I want to do so that I can do more of the things that I want to do eventually. So, yeah.
Yeah. Even that thing about discipline, because, I mean, especially growing up, I mean, the older I got, the more consciously I, like, realized the presence of that kind of mentality, but it was definitely an external thing, like the motivations to do things. And, I mean, I guess I used to practice better discipline once upon a time, but it was primarily external, you know? And so now, kind of what you're talking about, like, undoing or relearning, like, that's one of the things I'm at the point of trying to work on for myself. Outside and inside therapy, you know, I guess what you would call, or by your definition, you know, being an adult, like figuring out what's best for you or finding your personal intrinsic motivation rather than, because you have so many outside things telling you, like, you should do it this way, like, even when it comes to school, you know, because thinking about, like, say, going back for my master's, one of the things I'm like, I don't want to do it, I guess, kind of the way I did my BA, like, I don't want to do it like this intense one shot, like, you gotta do it this way, it's like a 2-year, I don't know, like, I'm like, well, I'm working right now, what's the best way I can pace this out financially and personally, you know, like, maybe I can take a couple classes here and then apply that like a semester down, you know what I'm saying, like, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be this whole straight shot where you spend like these solid chunks of money and get yourself in debt, you can pace it out so it makes sense, and in the meantime, you know, if there's other programs and other things I can do, or if, you know, they render like that kind of obsolete because I'm already working in the field that it's for, then I don't have to pay, you know, that $30,000 to do this whole thing. You know, that's, so my mind is, that's the kind of things that my mind is working with. I'm like, it doesn't have to be done that way that, you know, they say you should do it, because that shit does not work.
Right.
Body. And honestly, it's not what it used to be. So doing things for you is really important. And then even balancing the creative side. Like, I want to get back into that too. Because, like, you know, like, it was ruined for me for a while, because when I started out drawing and doing art, it was for me. But then I went to school for it in high school, and that, like, that ruined it for me for a while, because what used to be an internal thing became an external thing, you know, like, I had grades, you know, like, you make my art, you know, my artwork, and I get the assignments are supposed to, like, produce or, like, kind of, like, guide different ways to, like, form your imagination, but for me, it was a stunting thing, it wasn't a productive thing, so I learned for myself that that's just not how I do art, I cannot have it in that kind of environment, so that's another thing I'm rediscovering for myself, and being able to do the book, One Gets You Too. And again, like, I really do thank you for that, because that was a practice I needed to kind of reestablish that line of knowing how and being able to create and also identifying the ways that, like, make it feel good. Mm-hmm. I know it feels good when I get to do it with somebody I love. I know it feels good when I get to do it with people I care about. I know it feels good when what the fuck I'm doing I care about, like, the story itself, the message that you're trying to send. You know, these are my niece and my nephews, you know, like, I see them and I want them to have that kind of imagery. And it feels awesome to be able to produce that for them. You know, like, it's a different kind, it's external, but it's a different kind of motivation that ties with the internal motivation. So it doesn't do the same thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And, like, you know, as far as, I guess, exploring, you know, those parts of your artistry, and then also, you know, I guess figuring out what it means to be an adult. I think what I've realized is that being adult doesn't just happen when you turn a certain age. Like, you know, as you grow, you're supposed to just add on to your skills and your understanding. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't just start when you turn 18. Like,
It's supposed to be a process. You're supposed to grow gradually. You're supposed to learn gradually. You know what I mean? Because life doesn't start and stop. Like, you know what I mean?
Not fixed points of suddenly not do this.
Right. And so that's why it's so important. You know, that's what I'm realizing as a parent. You have to be really intentional when you raise your children, because these little things, you're supposed to instill in them the confidence, the opportunity to exercise their strength and learn their weaknesses and learn how to cope and learn how to perform certain skills and how to be emotionally intelligent. yes, you know what I mean? So that throughout life, as they continue to learn and add on to the things that they know, the things that they were taught, and then learn to be the person that they were just born to be, it won't be difficult to go out into the world and do your own thing. Because honestly, I feel like teenagers, I feel like it starts there. You know what? Let me not even say that. It doesn't start there. I just feel like that's when they begin to kind of like break off from their parent. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's just like there are certain things that children should be used to doing and should be familiar with as far as independence. So at two, you know, of course they're not gonna do the cleanest job, but they're gonna be feeding themselves. You know, at three, you know, at two, you know, they're going to be going to the bathroom versus being changed. They're not going to wipe perfectly, but they're going to know what it feels like and understand, hey, I have to go to the bathroom and I have to understand and learn when my body is telling me that I need to, you know, pee or poop.
Yeah.
And that's the level of independence that's appropriate for a two-year-old that, you know, as parents, we're supposed to
facilitate.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was right. And so yeah, it's just like different levels. You unlock different levels of independence, and with that support of your parent and other older people in your life that's supposed to have some type of understanding of what life is supposed to be. And so I think that's why there are a lot of people that have a difficult time adjusting to adulthood, because they feel like certain things that they just weren't prepared for. And it feels like a shock to their mental state and just, you know, what they were expecting. And I think for a lot of people, it was just like, it was something that they were just building up to, like, oh, I can't wait to be an adult because then I won't have to listen to my parents. But then you realize being an adult just means you have to listen to your boss. You have to listen to... of course, like, they don't have that sense. A lot of people, they don't have that sense of self and, you know, understanding of their own uniqueness as an individual. And so it's just, you know, modeling the behavior of you have to do things the way that you were told to do them. And at the same time, because of course, you know, there's a way to do certain things. But at the same time, you also have to do things in a way that is good for you, that aligns with your identity. And so... and that goes into, you know, being the type of adult that works for you. So, you know, if you were told, you know, you're going to get older, you're going to get a good job doing this, and then you have to get married and have to have children, and then you end up doing those things, and you're just like, this is not what I wanted at all. You know, you're not being the type of adult that makes you a productive adult. Yeah, you're being the adult that you thought you had to be, and then, you know, you have people that have midlife crisis. And then so yeah, I just, you know, I'm realizing that this is what parenting is. If you choose to be a parent, you're supposed to prepare your children steadily
in appropriate ways at the necessary stages of their life, so that when they do become that adult, it doesn't feel foreign to them being on their own. And even then, like, no one should be on their own. It's just, you know, you're independent with a support system.
Yeah. And I mean, it goes without saying, some people, you know, you have circumstances where they didn't quite choose, but
right.
Though the, yeah. you know, yeah. those personal challenges that you kind of, I guess, deal with. And if you do, you know, if you're able to have another choice going forward, it's the same idea.
Yeah.
And right. even what you're talking about, like with, like that progression of learning, that's definitely, that's why modeling is important, because that's how you kind of, I mean, like, that's how you learn, that's how you adapt, that's how you meet yourself. Like, even the example of, like, you know, being potty trained, you know, like, you wipe yourself, but you know when mommy or daddy comes and is like, good job, but I'm gonna give you one more wipe, you know, okay, so I gotta do another wipe the next time I do, you know, like, you, mm-hmm. you get to that point where you're like, this is what I've been shown, and I'm going to keep doing it until I get there, and also, you know, figure out, you know, other ways as it applies, that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. And
facilitating the ability to make your own choices, right. which I think you're awesome at. Like, those
oh,
kids.
You do.
No, like, they're so, they're like, they're little amazing aliens. Like, they're,
but that's what I'm saying, because like, I can't take credit for everything, because they're just who they are.
They are, but you need the space.
Mm-hmm.
And not every, it's a lot to not feel that space for yourself personally and still be able to give it to somebody else.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see the type of people they grow to be. I have an idea, but of course, you know, life happens, and, you know, I really want the best for them. And then on the other side of things, or, you know, just providing other things like extended family and, yeah, that type of thing that we didn't have, so... It's I'm looking forward to witnessing something like that up close versus just hearing about it and imagining what it would feel like. And so I just anticipate them having, you know, really abundant lives.
Yeah.
Right. And then, like, my journey as a person and a parent is making sure that I'm able to provide them with, you know, the tools to explore those sides of themselves, because, you know, they can't, like, it's already in them, but they need to know what it looks like and what it feels like to explore it outside of their, you know, just their imagination.
And the reality is, like, you're also getting to know your kids.
Mm-hmm.
I say with no children.
I mean, and then, you know, because we've talked about you having kids, like, do you feel like that's something that is something that you want, or do you feel like that was something that you thought you had to do?
Yeah, I feel like you've asked me, like, so many times, because whatever answer I give you must not be, like, sufficient. I'm like, what the fuck did she say? But it's not a like a conscious active thing in my head, like, oh, I want kids. And it's not a conscious active thing in my head of I don't want kids.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt like I should have kids because that's what I've been told to do. I guess it's more been kind of the opposite. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to, like, listen to myself, because I don't want to be so, like, feeling like I'll be stepping into a box, you know, mm-hmm. if I do it, that I miss out on a blessing or something that would be right for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like my tagline was always, like, if God says yes, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll have kids. And I feel like that's really it, you know. Yeah, and I don't know if that'll be like adoption. I don't know if that'll be, you know, giving birth, or I don't know if that will be like not having kids at all. But I guess that's all I want. I just want whatever is right for my life. So I feel like I can't really say, you know, yeah. Or I can't really say no. you know, but I really don't like that box, because, you know, mom definitely has that. I want you to get married.
I feel like she's saying that because she feels like she has to say it, honestly.
I think that's what she really wants. Like, she wants.
She already.
I feel like the base motivation is different, and I feel like that kind of ties to her personal life experiences. You know, that's a whole different cohort, and then that's a whole different like culture and cohort that she's coming from.
Because what I'm saying is, I feel like she's saying it because she feels like that's what she should say as a woman that has kids and all of her kids are adults. And your response to that was what you said that.
I feel like that's not. I feel like it isn't. What happened? I'm not gonna go into like full details because I feel like that's like a personal. So I'm not gonna like share all the reasons why. But I just feel like basically what I said, like from her personal experiences and her beliefs also, because it's definitely, you know, ensconced in her faith too. Like that's also a big thing. You know, like there's the cohort, there's the culture, but then there's also her faith, which is really, I feel like that's actually the biggest part of it. You know, because if we're talking biblical, like everybody, you walk into a church, you know, they want to know when you're going to get your man or whatever. You know, they want to know when you're going to get married and have kids and stuff. At least that's the personal experience I've felt growing up, you know.
But my question is, and this is me asking you as your sister, right? And so I feel like, you know, so yeah, like we all have roles, you know what I mean? And I feel like for her to say to you, you know, that you should have kids, or is it that she's just asking when you're going to have kids?
More like, I guess it's more like comments, like just like conversation in general, you know, that obviously promotes the idea of like, you know, getting married, having kids, having that specific form of union and partnership. Because, you know, anytime I've ever said, I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm gonna have kids, I'm not sure if I'm gonna get married, you know, she's like, don't say that, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. Or just like straight up.
Because my thing
like,
is,
yeah, you know, like I want you to have, you know, a partner. Not so much on the kids front, but when she says something more actively, it's more about like having a partner and specifically having a husband, you know.
But that's my point. It's just like, what is the motivation behind that? Like, okay, if you don't, you know, no one wants people they care about to be alone. So I can
understand the partnership. That's definitely part of it too.
But when it comes to the kid, I'm like, you know, why?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's a mixture. That part, I mean, I can't speak for a mom, but I feel like a lot of it, kids and marriage included, is based on the faith or the religion aspect, you know, that is a natural part of the doctrine of, at least especially, you know, Christianity, but mm-hmm. a good number of denominations, you know, the idea of having union, marriage, and having children, you know, whatever, be fruitful and multiply, which, you know, I mean, there's discussions around that too, you know, like that means different things. It doesn't necessarily mean have kids. It also means, you know, building personal wealth, however that looks. So that's not necessarily money, you know, like just being productive with your time and resources and sharing them, you know, however you interpret that. I'm not even gonna go into that shit. I'm gonna stop right here.
Because that's my point. It's just like, you know, especially you know, with the talks about abortion and the laws that are, you know, being created against these things. Religious people, they talk about, you know, multiplying, but then it's like, who's taking care of these kids? You're forcing people to have children that they cannot take care of. Right. And then in the sense of like, you know, someone like our mother that's asking you about when you're going to be having children, I'm like, and that goes into like, we all have roles. So as a grandmother, it's just like, is she looking forward to being a grandmother? Because personally,
those are two separate things.
Personally, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, you can't make suggestions for how other people should live their lives, especially if you're not going to contribute or be supportive in those decisions that you're encouraging them to make.
I mean, I don't know how again, I cannot speak for mom.
And I don't want you to.
I know. That's how I'm gonna do this. Like, I'm just gonna explicitly say, because I feel like it's necessary for me to do that. Like, I can't speak for her. I can only say what I think, I guess, about, like, conversations we've had. I think, aside from, like, there's still the faith side of it, and I guess on the personal side, when I think about it, maybe it's just, like, that concept of a fullness of life, you know? Because the reality is, not to say that, you know, children are automatically going to make your life full, although if we're talking about in this context, I guess that is the implication. But the reality is, and this is not something that I can, like, speak to very much from, you know, personal experience, because I haven't been married. I haven't had, you know, a partner that I've had children with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, we sustain ourselves off of different type of relationships, different types of relationships. You know, we have our significant others, you know, if we have them, if we have kids, then we also have kids. We have friends, you know, we have other family members, extended family, what have you. So, but I guess that's another part that I feel like that probably is another part of it. Just something else to contribute to your fullness of life.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I don't think there's a concern about whether or not that's how you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I feel like I do agree with that, because, I mean, we've gotten into plenty of, you know,
heated
conversations, intense conversations. I was trying not to say arguments, because it's not like we, like, yell the house down or something, but, you know, it's definitely a debate,
mm-hmm.
at the very least.
But, you know, we know our mom, you know.
And I understand it, but I mean, my other thing is that at the end of the day, I'm still going to live my life the way I'm going to live it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I'm always going to, whether or not she thinks I do this, because I really feel like she thinks I don't, but I do listen to her. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm still going to, you know, take the things that she says and, you know, do my best to, I guess, integrate that into how I consider things. But it goes back to the same thing we were talking about before, just figuring out what is right for me. And because, like you said, life happens, that does change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, I had the thought randomly, like, I don't even know how long ago, I'm like, damn, I think I do about kids, you know?
You say you do what?
I had the thought, like, not too long ago, like, damn, I think I do want kids. But, you know.
Like, I was, I'm a fan of Tracee Ellis Ross, and she's a woman that doesn't have kids. She's not married. And this is something that she's talked about quite a bit recently. You know, it's just, it's highly personal. Yeah. Because, like, if you know, life, I think it's important to share your life with people. And so, you know, if you want to share your life with, you know, just friends, if you want to share your life with a spouse, if you want to share your life with children,
yeah,
it's up to you. But yeah.
Because at least right now, I'm okay definitely just being an aunt. Like, I'm no kids right now.
Right. Like, I, as much as I enjoy being my children's mother, there are, you know, there are some days where I think about, like, wow, you know, if I didn't have children, I'd be able to just get up and do exactly what it is that I want to do. No issue. And so, you know, with any decision, there's things that you enjoy about the decision, things that you don't really enjoy about the decision. So,
yeah.
I have to constantly weigh those options. So I guess before we go, we did just put out a book, One Gets You Two, like, on the topic of adulting. Mm-hmm. Balancing parenting for myself, parenting and my creative side. You know, I wrote the book during the pandemic. Just, it, I guess it came to me because I was like heavily thinking about like what direction I want my life to go in. And then, you know, witnessing and experiencing how Keith's parents, the kids, although it's something that he says to them, it's also something that, you know, inspired me. And so, you know, I wrote the book because I feel like it's important for people to pace themselves when it comes to any goal that they have. And so, like, whether or not, I feel like it's a message for children as well as adults, because, you know, people need support throughout their entire lives. And then, of course, you know, you having illustrated it, it's just a really important piece of work for me, because although it's still in the beginning stages as far as being introduced to the world, I think the possibilities are endless. But even if it doesn't get put on like every bookshelf in America, I still feel good about the fact that it's out there and that it exists. Anyone that's listening that you know, if you know anybody with kids or if you have kids yourself, I would, you know, definitely recommend you checking out the book When Gets You Two. And especially for fathers, I think it's a good message for highlight the role that fathers play in their kids' lives.
Especially with kind of encouraging children to pace themselves as they, you know, strive towards personal goals. I feel like the book also encourages them to consider themselves as, you know, like as a person, you know, like what do I personally need and how to, kind of what we were talking about before too, with that kind of like emotional intelligence. Like it's not just for, an emotional intelligence is not just, you know, for like, you know, understanding someone else. It's also about understanding yourself. So yeah, I feel like the book definitely goes towards that as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to hear you say that because, yeah, it just goes into appreciating seeing how other people receive something that you've created. But mostly just as adults, as, you know, adults killing it, just continuing to learn more about ourselves and what we can do to honor our inner child, but also continue to grow. And so, yeah. With that, thank you once again for tuning into another episode of Therefore Noir with your girl Liz.
And your girl Edith. I really